news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Let's begin with the good news we've been waiting for. New COVID-19 cases in the United States are at an 8-month low. Deaths are at a 10-month low. And on Thursday, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky announced new mask guidelines for those of us who've been vaccinated.
Today, CDC is updating our guidance for fully vaccinated people. Anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing. If you are fully vaccinated, you can start doing the things that you had stopped doing because of the pandemic. We have all longed for this moment when we can get back to some sense of normalcy. Based on the continuing downward trajectory of cases, the scientific data on the performance of our vaccines, and our understanding of how the virus spreads, that moment has come for those who are fully vaccinated.
Some states and businesses are already reconsidering their mask policies in response. Now, the guidance does not apply when masks are required by state, local, or tribal law or business policies. Masks will still be required on airplanes, buses, trains, and other public transportation, and at healthcare facilities, jails, or homeless shelters. And unvaccinated people are still advised to wear masks. Nothing will change yet at the House of Representatives. The Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, was asked by CNN on Thursday if she'd change the rules after the CDC announcement. She responded, "No. Are they all vaccinated?" You see, all lawmakers were offered vaccines back in December, but as of last month, there was still about 25% of the House who hadn't taken one, and if you guessed they were all Republicans, you'd be correct. The situation in the Mideast went from bad to catastrophic. Israel dramatically escalated its assault on the Gaza Strip early Friday with a combined air and artillery barrage, targeting the tunnel system that runs beneath Gaza's streets, likely including significant civilian casualties. We do know that the Israeli military claims that Gaza militants fired at least 55 rockets overnight, bringing the total to about 1,800. Two women died in Israel after falling while running for shelter, bringing the number of people killed there to 8 civilians and 1 soldier. Meanwhile, Gaza's health ministry reported the death toll there climbed to at least 119. Including 31 children, with 830 people wounded. The current conflict was triggered after clashes earlier this month in Jerusalem among Palestinians, Israeli police, and right-wing Jews. Tensions have been high in part because of efforts by Israeli settlers to evict Palestinian families from their homes in the Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood of East Jerusalem. Well, some interesting developments in the story of the Colonial Pipeline's cyber attack. With long lines and panic buying, the new rules at most gas stations across the Southeast continuing on Thursday, the other shoe dropped. Colonial Pipeline reportedly paid $5 million in cryptocurrency ransom to Eastern European hackers and have already begun ramping up operations at the pipeline, which supplies fuel to much of the U.S. Southeast. Experts are warning that it could take a few days to get the oil flowing as freely as before the attack. But now we've also learned that the attack didn't take the pipeline itself down. Instead, new reports suggest that the company stopped operations because its billing system was compromised, and they were concerned that they wouldn't be able to figure out how much to charge customers for the fuel they received. And in yet another cyber attack, thousands of confidential documents from the Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Police Department were leaked onto the dark web Thursday after one of these attacks from a, quote, Russian-speaking ransomware syndicate. The leak included internal disciplinary files and intelligence reports, as well as information from the FBI, Secret Service, and other agencies. The AP also reporting that experts say it was the worst known ransomware attack ever to hit a U.S. police department. The so-called Babak Group coordinated the leak after the D.C. Police Department refused the demands for a $4 million ransom payment. New developments Thursday in the upcoming trial for the three former Minneapolis police officers accused of aiding and abetting Derek Chauvin in the murder of George Floyd. The Minneapolis state trial for these three former officers was supposed to happen in September. It has now been postponed until next March, so a federal trial can take place first. As all four of these officers have now been indicted by a federal grand jury for violating George Floyd's constitutional rights. Meantime, the Supreme Court is hearing a somewhat related case that could provide more guidance on the legal doctrine of qualified immunity. That's what shields law enforcement from some liability. This case was brought by the parents of Nicholas Gilbert, who say their son died in police custody in St. Louis after officers put their weight on his back as he was shackled face down. Hopefully, the powers that be will reach an agreement soon on Joe Biden's infrastructure package. Authorities have now shut down the heavily traveled Hernando de Soto Bridge that runs over the Mississippi River indefinitely because of a clean break in a critical beam. An inspector spotted the crack and immediately called 911, saying, "We need to get people off the bridge immediately." The I-40 bridge runs between Memphis, Tennessee, and Arkansas. More than 35,000 vehicles cross it daily, a third of it commercial traffic. House Republicans Friday morning elected Elise Stefanik to replace Liz Cheney as the GOP's third-ranked leader. Stefanik won in a 134-46 secret ballot vote after a last-minute and short-lived challenge by Freedom Caucus member Chip Roy of Texas. And one more breaking news story. Early Friday morning, House Democrats and Republicans announced a deal on legislation to establish a commission to investigate the January 6th attack on the Capitol by a pro-Trump mob. The top members of the Homeland Security Committee agreed to a 10-member panel to study the facts and circumstances, as well as the influencing factors that provoked the attempted insurrection. More details to come, I'm sure. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.